Total Scream proudly presents their official podcast, On Scream, with your hosts, Tyson Gifford and William Roerig.
Everybody, and welcome to On Screen, the official podcast of the Total Screen. My name is Tyson.
My name is Will.
And today we are going to be talking about Roadhouse. We're talking about the 2024 version, the recent version of the movie, not the one from the 80s or 90s or whenever that original one came out.
With Pretty sure that's an 80s movie.
It's either 80s or like very early 90s. It's one or the other. But we're not going to be talking about that. That's a different movie. We're talking about this one, the remake that came out in 2024. Starring Jake Gyllenhaal, and that's the one we're going to be going over. In addition to that, we've got some stuff to talk about that's coming up on the horizon, and that's where we're going to kick things off with our On the Horizon segment.
On the horizon. On the horizon.
On the Horizon is where we talk about shows, movies, and games coming up in the next week or so. And we're going to kick things off with Tuesday, April 23rd, which is the date that Yuden Chronicle 100 Heroes finally comes out on PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and Switch. But I think there's a caveat with the Switch version, right? Like it's version's delayed or something?
Yeah, the physical's delayed. It's still coming out digitally on that day.
Yeah, but all the other ones, the physical version, one's coming out that day too, right?
The Switch one has
got a delay on the physical release, and otherwise they're all coming out.
Yes.
That is on Tuesday, April 23rd. And yeah, I know you have that already coming to you. The digital version, and you have a hard copy coming as well, right?
Yes. Yeah, I do have the physical coming when that is released.
And for me, I am going to wait until I see what reviews are like for the Switch version. Mm. And if it seems like it runs well, then I'm going to pick up that one. And if it seems like it doesn't, then I might get it on PC.
Fair.
Unless the PC version is one of those rare, like weird PC ports that just is shit.
Right. Yeah.
Then maybe not, but that's my plan for it. But this is the spiritual successor to the Suikoden games. So, I've been excited about this since it was first shown. So we're going to have to see how that goes, but I'm looking forward to this. We got another game coming out also on Tuesday, April 23rd, and that is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Arcade Wrath of the Mutants, coming to PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and Switch. So you're a fan of the Turtles games. Is this one on your radar at all?
No.
I haven't heard like anything about this one. It's not like that last one that came out on Switch that everybody was talking about. Like no one seems to be talking about this. Don't know if that's just bad marketing or just means the game's bad. I don't know.
Mm.
One more game coming out that same day though, on Tuesday, April 23rd, is Saga Emerald Beyond, coming on PC, PS4, PS5, Switch, and mobile. So yeah, two big RPGs and a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game that nobody's talking about.
Right, yeah.
That's going to be all those on Tuesday, April 23rd. Then on Thursday, April 25th, City Hunter is coming to Netflix. We talked about this last week. We talked about the trailer for it, and now it's going to be coming out. So that's going to be there. Also on Thursday, April 25th, one I'm a little bit more excited for, Dead Boy Detectives is coming to Netflix. This is, now we know, a spinoff of the Sandman series on Netflix. We knew that Source Material was a spinoff of the Source Material for Sandman, but we didn't know that it was going to be until just like the last trailer. That's when it was showing that this is actually connected to the other Netflix series, Sandman.
Yeah, it looks good.
Also on Thursday, April 25th, Them, The Scare is coming to Amazon Prime. This is a like anthology series, seasonal anthology. So every season is a self-contained story. They did one before. It was just called Them, and this one's Them, The Scare on Thursday, April 25th on Amazon Prime. And then also on Thursday, April 25th, Velma is returning for its second season on Max to light the internet on fire. Because when the first season came out, people did not take kindly to it.
because it was garbage.
But that is coming out on Max. Then on Friday, April 26th, Knuckles is coming to Paramount Plus. This is the Sonic the Hedgehog spinoff series that seems to have like the same production values, has Idris Elba reprising his role as Knuckles. I mean, it looks good, but I haven't seen the Sonic the Hedgehog movies. But I remember when we watched the trailer for this, I said it actually kind of made me interested in watching.
Yeah, I should watch those at some point.
I just don't have Paramount Plus right now, but it's one of those things where, oh, I'm eventually going to get it again, so I can watch some of the newer South Park specials and whatever new ones come out after that. And when I do that, it'll be a good time to check out the Sonic the Hedgehog movies as well as Knuckles.
Yeah, yeah.
I do like Idris Elba quite a bit. So. Sandland is coming out on Friday, April 26th to PC, PS4, PS5, and Xbox Series X. This is the game based on a property from Akira Toriyama. Akira Toriyama's like last property, basically. There's like a series coming for it. I think there's a movie being worked on as well, and then there's this game. So there's just a whole bunch of different things put together for this project, but it's Akira Toriyama's like last work, basically.
Yeah.
Then also on Friday, April 26th, Stellar Blade is coming to PS5. I've heard a lot about this, but I don't remember any of it. Do you know what Stellar Blade's all about?
What? Oh, it's a character action game.
Like a Bayonetta type?
It's more similar to like Nier Automata.
Okay. So, but it's got kind of like a Platinum vibe then, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. So that's coming on Friday, April 26th. And lastly, also coming on Friday, April 26th, Boy Kills World coming to theaters. I think of the entire lineup of everything on this On the Horizon segment, this is the one I'm the most excited about. It's like this, or maybe Yuden Chronicles. It's kind of like somewhere in between there, but Boy Kills World looks fantastic. That's, yes, you know.
Looks amazing.
I think it looks hilarious. It looks like a really fun action movie. Everything about it looks great. So I'm super psyched for that. And that is it for our On the Horizon segment. And this week, that leaves only full spoilers. So full spoilers is where we talk about something in full spoilers. And this week we are going to be talking about the 2024 remake of Roadhouse. This one starring Jake Gyllenhaal, taking over the role that Patrick Swayze made famous previously. I have to ask you before we start, did you see the original Roadhouse ever?
No.
Okay.
No, I feel like we discussed that.
Yeah, I think we did last week. Yeah. We brought it up. But I want to check base in on that again. So yeah, so I remember watching the original Roadhouse. I don't really remember much about it. I just remember really liking it as a kid. There was a run of Patrick Swayze like action movies that were kind of like right around that time period that I was kind of into all of them. And Roadhouse was probably the best of the bunch. And it's kind of one of those movies where it's hard to tell if it's so bad it's good or if it's just good.
Right, yeah.
And it's just good but weird, or is it bad good? Like, it's kind of like hard to tell. Like, you'll kind of laugh and have fun, but then you'll be watching going like, this is actually kind of good. Like, this actually kind of hits hard. Like, you know? And that's kind of how I always remembered Roadhouse, as being like that. So when they announced the remake, I'm like, okay, so what's this going to be like? Are they going to get the humor right? Are they going to make it weird? Are they going to nail that kind of tone that the original had? And you can't answer that because you never saw the original, but I can say, I think they kind of did get the tone right. Like, this is a weird movie. It's weird in like a good way. It's like weird, like funny. It's like, you know, it uses its weirdness for the humor. The top thing that keeps coming to the top of my mind when I'm thinking about like the weird aspects of this movie is the one character, the one henchman character that's just like really polite and nice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, like, that guy's funny because, like, he gets his butt beat with everybody else. But he's the only one who, like, basically gets the message.
Yeah.
Like, Jake Gyllenhaal's character is, like, you know, not the guy to, like, F with. You know, like, he's the only one who, like, seems to get that.
But it's not, like, it's not played up for, like, fear or something. It's played up, like, he sees him at a club again when he's with his crew that are starting, like, a riot in the club or whatever. And he sees Dalton and goes, oh, hey, nice to see you again.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, it's such a weird character, like, archetype. He says, like, the last thing we see from him in the movie is him saying, like, I just wanted to ride, like, with bikers, you know, like, with other bikers. Like, I didn't want to do any of this stuff. I just wanted to ride. It's really hard to find people to ride with or something, you know? And that's really is his character. He's just like this guy that just wanted to join a motorcycle club just to go, just to have fun going on rides and somehow got wound up in all this.
I'm not doubting, like, that that's the case and everything, but I would also know, like, in that particular scene, he also just watched Dalton murder a guy in front of him. So, like, so he's terrified in that scene.
But I buy it because that's his personality type.
Right.
You know? Like,
yeah.
That's how he is through the whole movie. He's very much in line with, like, there's a funny part in his first scene where Dalton tricks, that's Jake Gyllenhaal's character, tricks everybody to go outside by basically saying, like, are those your bikes over there? And then walking out and they're like, what the fuck? You know, like,
because they think he's going to mess up their bikes
or something.
Yeah.
And he gets them all outside and then he's like, so do you guys have, like, insurance? You know, where's this hospital? And he's asking about stuff. And the guy's, like, answering him, like, just earnestly. Like, you know? Like, oh, I think it's, like, about 25 miles down that way, you know?
I think it's correct. I think that was the dude who just wanted friends.
Yeah, seriously. he's just a guy that wanted to, like, hang out and ride motorcycles and ended up getting, like, caught up in a motorcycle gang.
Yeah, it's just hilarious
to me. Like, I could watch a whole spinoff about his character. You know, ending up in some other, like, fucked up situation like this, but that it's from his perspective, and he's like, not again.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That'd be hilarious.
It's just, like, a really funny character. It's like, I think they did a good job with that kind of weirdness. And then there's a divisive character in this. I know that before I saw this movie...
There's a divisive character.
Here's a little story time for you, okay?
Okay.
I was going to go and visit my dad and my brother. My brother was coming from Texas and I was coming from California and we're visiting my dad in Arizona in Lake Havasu. And I told my dad, like, hey, I think I have a movie we could watch. They just put out, this was like weeks ago. I'm like, they just put out this Roadhouse remake. It's a remake of the old Patrick Swayze movie. And I thought, that might be a fun action movie that we could all watch together while we're, you know, together. And my dad's like, oh yeah. He's like, did I ever tell you, like, I insured the guy? Cause my dad was an insurance agent before he retired. He's like, I insured, like, the bad guy from the original Roadhouse movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And so I was talking to him about this and everything. And then I'm like, okay, that'll be cool because my dad's, like, you know, puts on Fox News and just sits there and watches it all day kind of thing. And I didn't want to be stuck watching Fox News at my dad's house the whole time I was there, you know? So we were trying to find, like, other things to do, like movies to watch and stuff. So when my brother picked me up from the airport, because he had been there for, like, a week before me, basically, like, staying, like, for a lot longer. I only went for a few days. Like, I said, oh, I found this movie. I was telling Dad about it that I found that we could watch. It's called Roadhouse. It's a remake of the Patrick Swayze one. And my brother's like, oh, so you're the one that said that to Dad. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he said,
what?
And he said, oh, Dad kept telling me that I brought up this movie Roadhouse and we've been arguing about it for days because I keep telling him I never mentioned Roadhouse. I didn't even know this movie existed. And my dad's like, no, you brought it up. You know, and then they watched it together before I came down.
Oh, no.
So I was like, well, God damn it. Now I got to find something else for us to watch. But talking to them, there was a character that they absolutely hated. So before I saw the movie, I was like, okay, how's this going to work? How's this character going to turn out? And I'm talking about probably the second most prominent character in the movie, which is Knox, as portrayed by Conor McGregor.
Yes.
They hated him. They thought, like, physical antagonist. They thought, like, this was this ridiculous character, like, really badly acted and everything. And I'm like,
he's supposed to be exactly what he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be, like, this dumb, over-the-top action movie villain. Like, this is not...
He's like a force of nature. He's like, he has, like, no conscience.
He just kind of cruises around and does whatever he wants, you know? This is not a serious drama. Like, it has elements.
No, not at all, yeah.
It has elements of it, but it is not at all. So, like, I get it if they were going for, like, something serious here, but they're very obviously not.
I think the general kind of, like, weirdness in the tone of this movie is something that just did not connect with my brother or my dad.
Right, right.
And he's, like, maybe the most prominent character in that vein, in that sense of being just like a really weird character that's just not very unnaturalistic. And I said to you, I prefaced it before you watched the movie, I had brought up this whole thing where I had read like an interview with Nicolas Cage, and he talked about kind of how everybody like hails like naturalistic performances and acting, but that's like less interesting to him. Like, he doesn't think it's not good, but he's just not as interested in it. He thinks it's like, you don't have to be naturalistic to do something.
Right. Yeah. It depends on the project, what they're going for. Like,
yeah, yeah.
It's situational.
But I brought that up to you at the time because you hadn't seen it yet, and I was curious, like, if you would like that
reaction,
or if that kind of unnatural, just because my dad and my brother had such a bad reaction.
I was expecting over the top villains of this. I was not expecting this to be some introspective. I was expecting some big crazy guys for Jake Gyllenhaal meet up.
Like, yeah, yeah. But even so, he's a very weird character. He's like,
yes,
you know,
he is. We first meet him walking naked,
and then we last see him walking
naked. All these
characters
are, like, eccentric as hell. Like, what are we talking about? Like, you were just talking about, like, the one guy who's just, like, some idiot who wanted, like, friends and decided, like, a biker gang was his friends. And he's, like, overly polite in, like, every scene. And then there's the crime boss, Ben Brandt, you know, like, again, he's, like, another crazy guy. It's like, yeah,
there's
like
Dell who gets eaten by a crocodile or an alligator or whatever. Del,
like all the villains are like these crazy eccentric people. The only normal people are like the townsfolk, the people like working at the bar, like the girl at like working at the bookstore. Like,
yeah,
they're the only normal people in the entire movie. Like, the villains are like all like eccentric, off the wall characters. So Knox did not seem out of place at all in this movie.
Yeah,
okay?
I think like, it was a step too far for them for my dad. Out of my brother, but for me, I was like, oh no, this is like perfect. This is exactly what he should be.
This is escalation of stuff that they were already doing in a good movie, like with the plot. Like, you want to escalate as you get deeper into the film, and this is the escalation. It's kind of like, yes.
He's this character, he's just a force of nature. I mean, he just comes in, he'll just like crash his car into a building and then get out and like walk out just like everything's fine.
Right, right, yeah, exactly. So like, I mean, one hand I could understand where they're coming from, like, because he's a cartoon character.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, it did not feel out of place at all in this movie to me. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, there is an escalation to this movie. Like, it's never naturalistic. Like, never through the entire run. But I think the point where it like really is like, okay, wow, they're really like escalating things is when Del tried to kill Dalton by like driving him off a bridge with a car.
Yeah.
And it was like, what the fuck? Like, this, all of a sudden, this like super heightened like weird action scene just out of nowhere.
And then he probably
gets eaten by a crocodile or an alligator or whatever.
They do like some crazy like stuff with cinematography too. Like fights. There's one point in like his first like fight against Knox where it goes into like first person perspective from Dalton's perspective for like part of it, for like a small part of it. It's the one and only time they do that in the movie. And that is like kind of like it's cool, but it's also kind of out of place because like the movie only does it that one time.
Yeah, it's an interesting director that did this movie though. It's Doug Liman. He did. He first wrote Rose to Prominence with Swingers. That was one with Vince Vaughn and what's his name? The guy who directed the first Iron Man movie.
John Favreau.
Yeah. So it's John Favreau and Vince Vaughn movie. That's
like,
the movie that got
them.
Yeah, his name just slipped my mind. But yeah. That's the movie that like first got them on the scene was Swingers. Then he did Go, which was like, you know, Timothy Oliphant and like that's that one where it's just all these different people's lives and it all ends up coming together around like a rave, like there's this giant rave and stuff, and it was like a really crazy movie. And then he did Edge of Tomorrow, which has the honor for me of being like a Tom Cruise movie that I was able to get past my suspension of disbelief on. Because I've said this to other people, but like Tom Cruise is one of those figures that like he's so crazy with all his Scientology shit that I can't not think about that whenever
oh,
I
Right.
And so it's hard for me to watch Tom Cruise movies because I just think about all the Scientology shit. I think about him jumping on a couch and stuff. Like, I just can't focus on the movie. And I went and saw Edge of Tomorrow by myself at the movie theaters because we were going to have like one of those planned like power outages, or they were doing like work. And so the power was going to be out. And I'm like, I don't want to sit in my house in summer with it getting hot, waiting for them to do this repair. I'm going to head out and just walk to the movie theater and go and catch a movie. And the only movie playing that even mildly interested me was Edge of Tomorrow. And that I love the movie so much that the Tom Cruise stuff never bothered me. I was able to like watch and enjoy a Tom Cruise movie unperturbed. And so I got to give Doug Liman credit for that. But it's one of those things. I saw this movie and then I looked up like who the director was and stuff and was like, wow, I've actually like liked quite a few things he's done. That's crazy. I didn't even know he did this.
Right.
But yeah, Doug Liman definitely has like this very like interesting kind of kinetic style of shooting like fight scenes and stuff. It's kind of got this like almost, what do they call it in like old Hong Kong movies when they would like speed up the footage? Like they call it like ramping or something.
Oh, I have no clue.
It's almost got like a sense of ramping. Like the scene where the guy, like I had mentioned, where the character Dell tried to like run him over, like felt ramped. Like it felt like unnaturally fast, you know, like it had been, the speed had been ramped up in post-production or something, which, you know, they don't do that because they don't need to anymore. They'll just, you know, do those kind of things with CG to clean them up and stuff. They don't ramp footage the same way they used to, but like it kind of has that kind of vibe to it, like stylistically. So I kind of dug that. I think a lot of the fight scenes were just really cool, actually.
Oh yeah,
the fight scenes and the action scenes in general. I'm thinking of the boat explosion scene and like how it like it cut on the explosion to like a way overexposed image, like everything was all blowing out and stuff to kind of really play with the shock of the moment, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I thought like the cinematography was great for this, like especially during the fight scenes, because like he does have a knack of making the fight scenes like feel like very kinetic.
Yeah, definitely. It's a very, very cool stylistically, very cool, not just cinematography, but choreography too.
Yes.
Like the way Jake Gyllenhaal fights is really interesting, you know, like the way they added to it, the kind of slap fight he did with first fight we see him do, you know, where he's just slapping people. And just like the way they just played on the speed of it and the shock value of that, you know, like I really dug that. I really dug kind of all the stuff with the fight scenes and stuff. And I think all that tied in well with his character too. Like you had mentioned that all of the characters are like cartoon characters in this, or like all the villains are like cartoon characters. And I think what's kind of interesting is that Dalton, the main character, isn't like, he isn't unlike that either. He's also kind of a cartoon character.
Right. Yeah. It's funny because like I was reflecting on the movie, like it's well acted, like there's great fight sequences, you know, like the direction's great, everything, but it's not a particularly deep movie. You know, there's hints, you know, of like darkness and regret in Dalton. Like we do see like we do get like a backstory for him. We do eventually find out he quit MMA because he lost control during a fight and savagely beat on a competitor who was also like a friend. This is actually explained to us by like the villain of the movie, which is funny, but like it's not really like expounded upon, you know? Like it's kinda like that's the backstory, and like Dalton is carrying around like this darkness and this guilt, and that's all you need to know.
Yeah. You don't need that many details. It's like, it's just kind of the motivation for why he acts a certain way and why he's reluctant to do certain things and why he's seemingly punishing himself and all these kind of things. Like they all tie to that, you know, and it's just kind of an explanation for it. And it's just kind of really there to have like the moment of escalation when he starts killing people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cause it's like,
yeah,
it's exactly. Just like suddenly like, oh shit, now he's killing people. And what's funny is that happened in the original Roadhouse movie too, but it was never like they never had a reason for it. Like in the original Roadhouse is really weird because they play up the character of Dalton as even more famous than the way they played up Dalton in this version.
Huh.
Like this version, there's a few people that recognize him, but a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
But in the Patrick Swayze movie, everybody recognized him. But what was so weird about it was that he wasn't an MMA fighter or something like that. He was a cooler, which is basically like the leader of a group of bouncers that like calm situations down, basically.
Huh.
Like, his job is less to, like, beat people up and more to, like, you know, de-escalate the situation. And they make it like he's a cooler that works at nightclubs and is somehow, like, super famous. Like, everybody knows who he is because he's such a badass and he's such a good cooler. And, like, he's, like, world famous for that or something. Like that would ever happen. Like, like, you're like, man, you know, that one bouncer from that club, like, four states over? That we've never been in that area, but everybody knows who that guy is because he's such a badass. It's like, nobody would know who somebody like that is. Like, nobody would know who that is, but it was just kind of like a funny aspect to his character. And then in Roadhouse, the first movie, there's a scene where he's getting into fights with this, like, you know, the criminal organization that ends up getting involved in everything that's going on. And he ends up, like, killing somebody. I think he, like, rips their throat out or something. And it's just like a what the fuck moment, because it's like, wait a minute, this was just about, like, a guy, like, a bouncer, like, throwing people out of a bar, and now right, he's like, yeah, ripping people's throats out. Like, what the hell's going on?
Surprise.
You know,
surprise,
it's, yeah, just like this weird escalation. And they did it here too with this one, where he escalates it by killing this guy.
Yeah,
he,
but they tried to, like, explain the escalation here, at least, you know.
Yeah, so
that,
yeah,
like, it's not out of nowhere, you,
yeah,
know.
Yeah,
and also, like, I like the way they do it, because, like, I like the way they do it. I like the way, like, they show him, like, crossing the line, because they do it in a way that makes sense, because A, we've seen him multiple times injure somebody, like, in a specific way, and, like, explain, you know, what he did, and, like, oh, you're gonna need, like, a hospital. And B, like, we've also, like, we got that, like, where they destroyed the bookstore, which he had a connection to, because, like, he was bonding with the girl who worked there, and he's seen that, like, he was leaving. He was actually, like, done with the whole thing, and then he's seen that bookstore destroyed. And then, like,
yeah,
you know, so, like,
that the girl and her father were in the hospital.
So you know, like, when he finds that out, like, he is, like, really upset. And then the first thing he does is he's confronted by the guy that he kills, and he does the thing he does where he injures the guy very specifically and explains to him what he did. But this time it's, like, it's a fatal injury, like, an intentionally fatal injury.
Yeah, and he doesn't, yeah, help him or anything. He's just explaining to him how he was going to die. And then the guy, yeah, like, falls into the water and just
so
dies.
It's, like, it's very, like, consistent, you know. Again, it's an escalation, but it's, like, consistent with, mm-hmm, what was set up by the movie. It's not, like, it's not out of nowhere. You could say, like, oh crap, it's out of nowhere that he started killing, but, like, he explains, you know, he gets pushed past a certain point, he gets angry enough. It's an escalation. It makes sense, is what,
yeah,
I'm saying.
Yeah, I really dug, like, what you're mentioning, like, him doing that kind of thing previously. And we had mentioned the scene before where he was, like, slapping the guys, and when he tricked them out to go outside by expressing an interest in their motorcycles and making them worry that he was going to ruin them and stuff. I really love our introduction to kind of the way he operates in that scene, and that it sounds like a badass line to just go, like, oh, where's the nearest hospital? Or, like, you guys have medical insurance, right? But then, like, after he beats them all up and stuff, he, like, literally drives them to the hospital, and then,
yeah,
it's like in the hospital telling the nurses, like, what the injuries are for each of the people, like oh yeah, this guy, I broke his arm, so you're gonna want to check that. And then I broke this guy's nose, this guy, he's got, I think I sprained something here, you know. It's like, everything's just, like, he's just very calm, very cordial, very pleasant to this, like,
yeah,
biker gang that he just kicked the shit out of.
Oh yeah, that's nice Dalton. And
yeah,
that's Dalton at that point. They didn't do anything specifically to him, they were just assholes, and he was doing a job.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So at that point, like, he's nice Dalton. And
yeah,
then at the end of the movie, he's not nice Dalton anymore.
No, yeah, not anymore.
Yeah.
Then he starts going crazy and everything escalates. And before you know it, he's murdering people by punching them in the throat. And then he's fucking blowing up boats.
Yeah.
It's just crazy, crazy town, you know? And, oh God, the last fight with Knox, with Conor McGregor's,
yeah,
character, where he's just with the knife. Oh, that's,
yeah,
such a creative, awesome fight where he's like,
it is,
stabs him in the leg, and then he stabs him with another knife, and then he pulls the knife out of his leg and stabs him again. It's like, Jesus Christ.
It's
so,
yeah,
brutal and so,
it's
like, efficient.
It's so brutal. They do establish at the end of the movie that, like, he put Knox down, but Knox isn't dead.
Yeah.
Knox is, like, such
Knox left the movie the way he came in, naked.
Yes. I love it because after the movie ends, it cuts to that stinger scene where Knox is like literally fighting his way out of the ER, like just messing up doctors, you know, like you see him like he throws like a doctor into like the door and then like he leaves the hospital mid-treatment. Like that's how much like of a tank he is. Like he took all that abuse and he's still like going like the Terminator.
Yeah, I've heard the reference to him being like the Terminator before. It's like he really is. He's just like this force of nature that just kind of sweeps through an area. I just, like I mentioned before, I love the way he just like at one point he just crashes a car into like, and it's not like he's doing it to like start a fight or something. He's literally going to the hideout or whatever, his criminal hideout where like the gang he's involved with is there, you know, and he goes and just crashes a car right into it and just walks out and just starts like grabbing food and shit.
Yeah exactly.
It's not like he didn't do that to like fuck somebody up or anything. He just did it, you know, and then he's just grabbing food.
Just do it because he doesn't care.
And you know, the Terminator reference, like I said, the first time we see him he's naked, walks right up to a guy and starts like scanning him for clothes basically.
Expected him
to cut to his vision and it would be all like infrared with like
heads up display
or something.
It shows up like looking over this guy and then like there's a cut and then when it cuts back he's in that guy's clothes but like the venter stall and everything around him is also like on fire and crap.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's just an absolute nut and oh man, such a weird movie, but like I'd say weird in a good way.
It's a fun movie. It's a fun action movie. That's what I expected going in. That's what I got. Mm-hmm. I kind of like when I get what I expect out of movies. I like that there wasn't like some weird swerve or they didn't like try to do something weird with it. They just like, we're going to give you an action movie where Jake Gyllenhaal like beats up a bunch of like criminals. And it's like, yeah, okay. And that's what you get. And I mean, and it's well acted. It's well directed. I mean, you can't ask for much more really.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great movie and I think it's interesting how it works in correlation with the original movie because the original movie, I think, is a little bit more subtle the way it's weird. Like it's weird and it escalates in the same way, but it doesn't do it in like this super stylistic way that really draws attention to itself for being like weird and stuff. Mm-hmm. It just kind of happens that way. And when you watch the movie, you're just kind of like, whoa, what the hell? Like why is the movie like suddenly about this instead of that? You know, like what's going on? Like they just completely forgot about the Roadhouse and now he's like involved with some organized crime group. Like what's going on? Like
right,
just the way all that kind of stuff happens. It's similar to the way it happens in the original movie, but in the original movie, they don't have I think there's like a lot of like really stylistic, like I'll say punches for lack of a better word, like not meaning actual punches, but meaning like it hits you over the head with style to like point out like, oh, there's a weird, cool thing coming up, you know? And they didn't really do that in the original movie. It's like you have to kind of like be paying attention and then you'd realize like, oh, things are going really weird, you know? Whereas like this movie, I think you could be like on your phone while the movie's playing in the background and realize the movie's really weird, if that makes any sense. It's more blatant. I should say, but it's still like honoring what the first movie was, which was just like really structurally a weird movie.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, anything else to say about Roadhouse?
I pretty much run out of things to say about this movie. It's a good movie.
It's a fun movie. Yeah. Check it out. It's on Amazon Prime, so you can check it out there. It's a good, fun time. Lots of great action scenes. Very weird and fun. And like you said, a total escalation with cartoon characters. Next week, we are going to be talking about Shogun. We talked about it a little bit earlier. I think we just talked about the first episode, I believe. Just kind of talking about what it was doing, what it took from actual Japanese history and stuff like that. And just kind of our first impressions. We didn't do it in a full spoiler segment. We did it just kind of in an on-tap segment where we just kind of talked about kind of general ideas without really going into any spoilers about it. And the intention there was that we were eventually, when the series concluded, going to talk about it in our full spoiler segment. Well, next week, like the day before we record our podcast, Shogun is going to come to completion. So that means it's time for us to talk about Shogun next week. So I'm excited for that. Are you excited to talk about Shogun next week?
I'm excited. It's an excellent show.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to talk about. And so that's what we're going to be doing next week. So stay tuned for that. Until then, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Tyson Gifford. You can follow Will. He is at Voxel Hero. You can check out our website, thetotalscreen.com. If you go to our website and open up the container story for any of our podcast episodes, scroll down to the last paragraph. You'll see a bunch of links to all the relevant social accounts, to our RSS feed, our YouTube page, everything. It's all there. It's just the easiest way to find it. TotalScreen.com. Open a container story. Last paragraph. All the links are there. You can also subscribe to the podcast through your favorite podcast client of choice, like Apple Podcast or Pocket Cast, and the entire backlog of this podcast, as well as our previous podcast and a bunch of additional content from the years and years that we've been doing this kind of stuff is all available on our YouTube channel. So check that out as well. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to the On Screen Podcast, the official podcast of The Total Screen. Visit our website at thetotalscreen.com. This podcast can be found on any major podcast client, including Pocket Cast and Apple Podcast. The entire backlog of this podcast and other content can be found on our YouTube channel.